Deep squad.
January 17th, 2017. This is Home Before Dark, episode number 94. New year, new us, right? It's 2017, and we're glad to be back with you after this holiday break. You guys can't see it right now because Kevin's not making any noise, and he's not taking over the camera view, but he is holding up his 2016 National Champions, Clemson. That was actually the second thing on my list of things to cover because I knew it was going to come up. Congratulations, man. Somebody who's actually an alum two times over from a university who has legitimate reason to root for someone
through the down times and the good. It feels good to be in the good times.
Let's call it relative down times, right? Because did you guys have a losing season?
Not since Dabo's picked up, but back whenever we had Tommy Bowden, whenever we had, like, I think his last season we went 5-7 or something like that.
Can we just
seasons like Carolina just had, but
no. So can we rewind for a second to Dabo's appointment after the letting go of Tommy Bowden and talk about how I, along with so many others, was completely wrong with how good of a coach he would end up being.
And I've been one of the few people that's been on board with it in that, like, his coaching style is completely contrary to all, you know, successful coaches in the minds of most people, like Urban Meyer and Nick Saban and even Jimbo Fisher and stuff like that, where they all take coaching and they have this very stoic approach to coaching, whereas he is very much about emotion and being the underdog and being the everyman's coach, I guess.
The
and
pizza party, man. That's where it solidified to me, was that pizza party.
But the thing is, it's like, I feel like most of the people that look at it that way also aren't thinking about the fact of, like, what that kind of father figure, like what that kind of figure is to kids that are 16, 17 years old. Like, having somebody that's in your corner that's not just there from a business sense, which very much is, and has changed the culture of college football for Clemson forever, I think. But that approaches coaching in such a different way that's so relatable to 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, you know.
Yeah, but
that
absolutely.
But that also is going to hold his ground and not play around whenever it comes to, like, Deion Kane having – the drug incident at the playoffs last year. He's like, you're not playing either game. You're not even going to Phoenix or whatever. Like, doesn't play around with shit like that. I can't say enough good things about his approach to coaching and what he's done for the university as a whole.
Yeah, I think that what you said about him being a father figure, or some sort of I look at it two ways, maybe two sides of the same coin, where he is a safety net to help you transition as a young man going from either – you know, a home where you have a mother and father or a broken home, whatever, and then going into college where you don't necessarily have that person that is necessary, that's always going to be there for you. But in a way, he's giving them guidance, giving them some sort of easier transition, some sort of seamless transition. And
not just right. From a football outlook either. Like, he's very much about the academic side of everything. Like, Deshaun Watson just graduated 3 years. He deserves every bit to go ahead and go pro. Like, it's fucking crazy.
It'll be great to see if he's like Saban in that regard, where he doesn't want to keep players. He wants them to go make the decision, best decision possible for them, because he knows that, I mean, we're a great university. We're going to keep bringing in great recruits. If you need to go and, you know, if this is – we're not going to cost you money, essentially. Yeah. Especially somebody like Wayne Gallman's junior, right?
Yeah, most of our offense is leaving after this year. But,
and they're mostly,
you know,
juniors, right? The only one that would be a senior would be – actually, no, I can't even think of a senior on offense.
I think Mike Williams is a senior. No, he's a junior too.
Yeah.
He just lost last year because of the neck break. But
Wait, Gallman is a redshirt
Gallman,
sophomore, right?
yeah. Gallman may
But
be.
still, 3 years removed. I think he's declaring, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Leggett, I think, is a senior, if I'm not mistaken. I
Yeah.
think Jordan
Oh,
Leggett is.
it
Yeah,
was it was.
he came back for a senior year, which
It
is
was
fucking.
Renfro. Renfro is who I'm thinking of that I
He's
thought
not a
was a
senior.
senior. He's a sophomore. Yeah, he's a redshirt sophomore. And
And
somebody was also.
fucking put that Alabama game on his back 2 years in a row.
Yeah, somebody had posted, what, 2020 Super Bowl MVP for the New England Patriots, Hunter Renfro, undersized white wide receiver. So speaking of football in the South in our area, how crazy is it that the Falcons are about to host an NFC championship?
Dude, I might actually get the Falcons and Clemson. Like, obviously, I'm way more on the Clemson fan base, and I've only been a mild Falcons fan for the past couple of years since we moved here. But yeah, it's fucking insane. Last game in the Georgia Dome, the NFC Championship game, it's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, it'll be
Against
awesome.
a team that is peaking at the worst time to be playing.
I say that I'll say that as well. I've been on the Green Bay wagon for about 5 6 weeks now, 'cause whenever I saw that Aaron Rodgers decided to pull his head out of his ass, and it's like, okay, he's putting the team on his back. And I think,
Yes.
yeah, you're right. It's the wrong time to be playing the Packers, because even with injuries, without one of the most dangerous weapons in all of football alongside him and Jordy Nelson, he still went and beat a great, great Dallas team in
Yeah.
Dallas to get to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, and the crazy thing about every team in the playoffs still is they're all on crazy win streak. Like, Atlanta's the worst, and they're still on like a 5-game win streak right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So the other thing I wanted to talk about relating to football, and it's also relating just into technology in general, be a nice segue to move into more of our general topics, because I don't know how abreast you've been keeping of the stuff going on the AFC, because I know you mainly been watching the Falcons games, or but Antonio Brown doing Facebook live streaming during the post game locker room.
Oh, I heard about that.
So I wanted to get your thoughts on that, because so it's against, I guess, NFL policy.
Isn't it like up to 90 minutes? You're not allowed to do anything like that after a game?
Yeah, you have a certain amount of time where they're allowed to be private inside their locker room.
Yeah.
So it's against team policy, against NFL policy. And Mike Tomlin came out today, said it was extremely immature and selfish, and that he's definitely going to be reprimanded. It's going to be fined. It's going to be handled. So, two things there. First of all, do you think what he did was wrong? And then what does that say about our society right now in terms of, I mean, there's so many commercials telling you to pop up Facebook Live, and there's so many athletes that are so, their presence is 100% predicated on their social media presence. Like their star is
Well, you see that happening with Richard Sherman right now, where he's become much more of an ass or much more brash over the past 2 or 3 years, I think, since Seahawks Super Bowl win, because he's nearing the end of his career, knowing that those sorts of things tend to lead into more media presence after your career's over, you know? And you're absolutely right, where a lot of their presence, especially towards the end of their career, is generated by social media and media in general. I don't know. I mean, I don't really have an opinion on it one way or the other. I think it's a very odd time. I mean, last night I watched a movie from 2002 and it looked like it was from 1982 because I'm constantly reminded of just how new all of the stuff that we have at our disposal is. I mean, Facebook Live and smartphones. I mean, smartphones in their capacity whatsoever didn't exist just 10 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, well, first of all, I think it's funny that Mike Tomlin, so during his whole rant was, we spotted these motherfuckers a day and a half. We had to postpone the game because of the weather. We had yada, 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 calling them assholes and all this stuff. And he's like, I apologize. It's funny that he has to come out and say, just to cover his ass. But at the same time, he really shouldn't have to come out and do that. I side completely. I hate the Steelers 100%. But I completely side with Mike Tomlin and the team on this, where it's private and these players know it. And it's not that Antonio Brown is some schlub offensive lineman that nobody knows about. He's one of two or three best receivers in the NFL. He's on Pepsi commercials. He has a big social media presence. He didn't need to do that. No. But I think the thing that really it comes down to for me is, what is that punishment going to be? Are they really going to drop the biggest deep threat in NFL football against the Patriots with the chance to go to the Super Bowl? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think this penalty will be assessed after the playoffs.
Yeah, that's exactly what it'll be.
Yeah, so Facebook Live's another interesting thing, too, because I've been seeing that and Instagram Live. And, you know, I get alerts on my phone whenever people I follow go live with stuff. I guess that's just part of it. I don't know if I could turn those notifications off.
I'm kind of sick of Instagram's notifications, because I'll get notifications for people that I could give a shit less about. Like, they just posted a new photo. Like, why am I getting notifications for random
people? Kevin just
people?
Posted a photo for the first time in a long time. Check it out.
Yeah, it's really weird.
So those two companies being owned by the same corporation or those two sites being owned by the same company, whatever. Facebook owns both of them. And they're both going with this whole live streaming model. One, it's interesting that they both, again, both being owned by Facebook, being run by Facebook. Facebook Live lets you stream up to like an hour, and then it records it and lets you, like, puts it in your gallery. Whereas, or maybe it's a couple hours. I can't remember the exact allotment. But with Instagram, you get an hour, and then it's gone.
Yeah.
It's weird. That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, that's the whole, like, Snapchat model, right? I mean, it's the same thing with Instagram stories. Like, that's the thing that's kept me from doing any of it. I was like, what if I make a really good one and I want to see it again?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's absolutely no sense of permanence. And whenever you do that, so in that brings up a big chore, like, scenario that you and I have had to deal with for the past, fuck, it's been 4 years almost. It's been 4 years because it's MLK weekend, I think, four years ago. Yeah, it's crazy. So spreading yourself too thin to cover all your bases, knowing that you have to have different mindsets for different media due to the different confines of them, right? The different restrictions. Right. So if you have a big Instagram presence, you have a big Facebook presence, I mean, to my knowledge, you can only run one of those at a time on your phone, because you can only have one app open recording at one time. You can't do it on your computer. It's all part of the mobile app. Everything's kind of moving that way. All the new features for Facebook are inside of the app or inside of Messenger as opposed to the desktop. And I think you got to kind of pick at that point what avenue you want to go down. And then you're alienating some people that it's
kind of crazy. I think a lot of stuff, I never really thought about the massive transition that's taken place over just the past 3 or 4 years, even from desktop to mobile. I mean, I really only use my desktop for software at this point. Like, there's no browsing or anything that I use an actual computer for anymore. It's not like I'm logging into my computer to go check my email or to get on Twitter or Facebook or anything like that, which was exactly how it was literally 5 years ago, where all of these websites were so desktop based, and now everything has gone mobile outside of just operating software. I mean, that's really the only reason to use it anymore is for for work, for lack of a better term. I mean, like, your Adobe suite, and even that, a lot of that's gone mobile. But like Revit and AutoCAD and stuff like that, obviously, is probably always going to be grounded in desktop. I can't see how that would really go mobile. But outside of actual functionality like that, almost everything's gone mobile.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I started to notice that because I saw on Facebook, I get on it still. I know you and I both of are completely off Twitter. At least I'll check it like once every 3 weeks to make sure that somebody I don't talk to over phone isn't talking to me on there or something like that.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I never get on there except for to test stuff for work. But with Facebook, I noticed that they had these like colored statuses that are starting to come up, and it's like you get a big background, the text is like formatted. It looks like, it almost looks like art, right? So I was like, where is everybody getting this from? Whatever. And so come to find out, you could do it inside of your app, but you can't do it on the computer. So yeah, that I always thought that they're supposed to reach towards a singularity in that regard, right?
Yeah.
But it looks like it reached that point. So it was mobile catching up to desktop, and then now desktop is staying at that peak where they met, and then mobile's continuing on without it, kind of
Yeah.
leaving it behind.
Which I
And
think that really has become the singularity, is that like they've met and now everybody has a smartphone at this point. So it's like there's no reason for people to sit, like there's no reason for desktop to keep progressing if all the people on a desktop platform have now gotten access to those things that started on the desktop version have now crossed over to a mobile platform. You know what I mean? There's no reason for them to keep investing resources into something like that. You know, the singularity is really to just maintain on one platform, which is mobile. So.
yeah, and in that regard, it kind of makes me think about, the skeptic in me who works on software day in, day out, and mobile software makes me wonder how much of it has to do with data, right? With tracking, with being able to
Oh,
check
yeah.
with these metrics, because people are getting savvy enough to use their computer. I use Opera, which has a built-in VPN, and I can kind of mask what I'm doing inside of a private browser, something like that. My shopping, my search history and all that stuff, and my if I wanted to go and browse Facebook, I could do that without having any sort of cookies or ad tracking or anything like that. But you can't really do that with a Facebook app. I mean, I can't launch the app and then use the cool new features like Facebook Live or those colored statuses, what have you. I can't use that in some sort of private VPN browsing type scenario where all my stuff isn't being tracked. So
Yeah.
it's smart business for them because they are a company who makes money off of advertisements, because they pass on that clunky UX to you, and the cumbersome nature of an ad-based application, because you don't have to pay for it. You get so much infrastructure to do so many things. It is amazing. We get jaded by what Facebook is, but there's so much stuff that's in there. It's just absolutely amazing what it's become to from what it was back in 2005 or whatever it was, whenever it was really starting to hit its stride, whenever it became available to people outside of Harvard. And that stuff needs to continue. I mean, they have shareholders, they have chair people, they have people to appease, and they have to at some point keep increasing that revenue. And that's really the only way for them to do it is to get those, I mean, to get that data to continue tailoring to you, to be able to continue to be a valuable place for brands to put advertisements.
Yeah.
It's, but I mean, it is kind of crazy. I can't remember the name of that theory or that law or whatever of the advancement of technology and how it like trip is it like every 18 months it like triples on itself in terms of
Yeah.
Power and capacity and that sort of thing. It's
And it's actually like expedited even more than that, like all the data processed over the course of 24 hours is the amount of the past, like however many hundreds of years, basically, just the
it's
sheer
crazy.
volume of data.
Yeah, it's funny. I get shit on because I like to reference this a good bit when talking about the advancement of video games, but I remember it stuck out to me so much. It was Xbox 360 had come out, and they had talked about the computing power and just the graphics, the advancement in graphics. And they were talking about Madden, how there were more pixels in one single helmet on the field than in the entire field
Yeah.
of the previous generation. It's
Yeah.
it just builds on itself. Yeah, I don't know, man. I didn't expect us to go on a 25-minute rant about that, or
Has it
20-minute
really
rant.
already been 25
It's already
minutes?
been 25 minutes. You were a
Good
little
Lord.
late. Let's be yeah, you were a
Oh,
little
I
late.
was getting my gains, bro.
Yeah, I know, and that's what I want to talk about next is New Year's resolutions. I don't know if you've said any. I know I've purposefully not talked to you about it because I knew we were going to be recording soon in terms of what I anticipate doing. I know you just got back from the gym.
Yeah, it's that time of year again. I mean, I maintained everything from last year as far as the weight I had lost, but I've n gotten off the wagon the past 2 months or so on actually staying with a running regimen and all that. So just been trying to get back into the gym and get on the treadmill before it warms up. That way, whenever it does warm up, I can actually feel comfortable running outside and putting in work there. As far as resolutions go, last year I had a really great idea which kept me honest, and I feel like I did everything I wanted to last year as a result, but I haven't set it up yet this year, in that I made a list on my phone and set it as a reminder that goes off every day at 5 o'clock. So every day, whenever I'm getting in the car or getting home or right around the time that I'm leaving work, I get a reminder on my phone. And so it's not every day that I check it. It's just a small, it was a small list of like five or six things. But throughout the course of the year, a couple times a month, I would look at it and just make sure I was kind of tracking well. And I mean, a lot of this stuff was pretty major, like getting my license and all that. So it helped kind of stay motivated on that stuff. And as I got one thing done, I would kind of take it off the list. And some of it's more ongoing things, you know, trying to keep up with regular health maintenance, sort of physical dentist, that sort of stuff. But yeah, so I just need to kind of reevaluate that and get it set up. But nothing set in stone right now. No, like I want to lose 10 pounds or anything like that, you know.
Yeah, I got you. That's a good idea. I think I need to do that because I
I
have
feel
dog
like the
food.
more broad you get, the easier it is to maintain it over a longer span of time. Because Neil was telling me today that, like, I guess there's an actual date of February 20th that they can that they that whatever research whoever has put together is typically the day that people give up on their New Year's resolution. And
Oh, geez.
there's a huge spike in fast food sales that day for whatever reason.
That is
So
interesting.
yeah.
So I have a few on mine. So I accomplished the two goals that I had set out at the beginning of last year. It was pretty straightforward. I wanted to be able to run a half marathon without stopping, which I did a little bit more than that. And then get down to 170 pounds, which I did. I'm a little under that, maintaining, kind of gaining right now. I know last year I had talked to you a good bit about I'd started looking at or messing around with tutorials for Game Maker Studio. I want to be able to finish a simple platformer game along the same lines. And this goes back to something that you and I have talked about, me and Rob had talked about in a previous podcast, and that how do we force ourselves to do these projects, right? Because for me, I have so many that are hanging in the balance that I want to do that I have ideas for that I've started. This is the perfect example of a way to hold myself more accountable, right? I mean, it's as cliche as it is, but I want to publish a short story to Kindle.
That's really and that's definitely doable. I mean, that platform is really well established for people just to put stuff up there, you know.
Yeah, I want to put at least one on there. I want to try as hard as this might be to lose another 10 pounds and then get enrolled for an MBA program. And then stop feeling so fucking old. That's on my list too. It's so hard, man. It's so hard to hear a doctor say, "Oh yeah, your arthritis is really bad." And I'm 29 years old. To hear a doctor say, "Oh yeah, you don't have anything wrong with your foot per se, just that your arthritis is progressing." That's
Yeah, I think that's part of my whole like eating better, getting into the gym, getting a little bit more regular with it. I'm actually going to try to, I think that's what helped with some of my, because I had some back issues towards the end of last year. I think a lot of it was inflammation based. And so whenever I kind of started out the beginning of last year, it went away. And so part of that was doing some intermittent fasting and just getting my diet in check. So I'm trying to kind of get back on board with some of that stuff, trying to just keep things a little bit more regulated than they are now, which is, it's
not at
fine
all.
to,
For me, it's not at all.
yeah, which is fine to, you know, eat a donut here or there, but I tend to get off the rails and then have to put myself back in check again. But it's not, I haven't, at least I've maintained the weight side of it. Now I just need to maintain the sort of lifestyle side of
Yeah,
it.
exactly. And then more weight will end up coming off. That's my hope anyway. But I think that you and I did a great job of holding each other accountable and being motivators for each other, running side by side as opposed to against each other last year. And that was definitely something that was beneficial. It helped me keep in check or helped me actually accomplish those two goals I had last year.
Well, I don't want to speak for him. I just mentioned Neil, but I think that also helped get him running again was us talking to him so much last summer about running and stuff. And
Yeah.
then eventually, like he started up again as we both kind of fell off of it.
Yeah,
And so,
he's running 7 miles a day like a madman.
yeah, so I was talking to him today about us needing to get a group run together once it starts warming up and we'll all circle up and
Give it a couple Once my
rounds.
shit is all straight, I'm good to go. I can't
Yeah.
wait. Especially the weather, man. It's global warming my ass, man. It's hot outside.
Don't know, man. I'm holding out hope. July 30, it was July like 28th or something like that was when the ice storm hit in 2014. So I am crossing my fingers that we got
You said
another one.
July,
Oh, I did say July,
January.
January. Yeah. I've got my fingers crossed that it's coming in just a couple weeks out of the blue. So hopefully we'll get one last cold snap that'll bring terror onto the city and we'll actually get something other than the crap that we got a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that was kind of nice though, because like everybody freaked out, and at least in our area, nothing happened. So you can go,
No.
you
Yeah.
could have gone and done whatever you wanted, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know where you want to move next. Movies, TV, music.
Well, I haven't played any games lately. I did finish Titanfall, which I don't remember if I had said that last
Nope.
recording or not, but I finished
We haven't
that.
recorded in a month, dude.
Wow.
It's
Yeah, I
holiday
finished
season.
Titanfall. That was great. I really loved that campaign. I still need to finish Gears, but other than that, I haven't really played anything at all.
Hyperlight Drifter, I did beat, and it was so satisfying. That is
Nice.
the that's the first like campaign I've beaten in a while, and it's so good. For those of you who like any kind of platformers, if you liked Bastion or if you like even Zelda, top down SNES, NES, Zelda 1 on NES, because 2 was a side scroller, I think. But it's fantastic. It's definitely worth the money. Super
Yeah,
challenging.
very cool.
So movies, TV, music, what do you?
Yeah, I've watched a ton of movies as a result of not playing any games lately. So it's for a couple weeks there, I was going to the movie theaters like every Sunday just to go catch the things that were getting towards the end of their lifespan in theaters. So managed to go see Arrival, Doctor Strange, seeing War Dogs. Trying to think of all the 10 Cloverfield Lane, which isn't really new, but finally got around to seeing that. Yeah, so I've been trying to catch up on a lot of the movies that slipped past by me towards the end of last year, middle end of last year, so.
I want to kind of put a spoiler alert on this and talk about Arrival a little bit, even though it's only been out a little while. Because it's hard to talk about that movie without talking about the crazy twists.
Yeah, let's hold off just because I'm biased and I know one VIP listener that hasn't watched it yet, and I would be remiss if they didn't get to listen to any more because they're going to be terrified of getting something spoiled. But that said, go fucking watch that movie because it's incredible.
Yeah, that's the best movie I've seen since Fury Road came out. And that was almost 2 years ago at this point. So it
Yeah.
was performances across the board are fantastic. Forest Whitaker's accent's a little,
Yeah.
but the rest of it, everybody's fantastic in it. The story's fucking great. It's just
It
so
was fucking
enthralling.
fantastic, man. Like
Yeah,
some
it
of
was.
the, and I'm not a big movie buff, like, oh, I just love the way that this is shot or the way this is set up. But there were some like meta shots in that it took me out of a viewership role and more of a like spectator role in the way that it was orchestrated with some of the perspectives that things were shot in and stuff like that that were really, really well done and really innovative, and I really enjoyed.
Yeah, especially the scenes inside the pods and all that stuff. They were really cool. I'm trying to think of what else he's done. He can make a
Sicario and Prisoners,
Enemy. He also did.
which are both on my list.
I haven't seen either of those. I did watch Enemy. Did you watch that with Jake Gyllenhaal? Where he finds an exact duplicate of himself in the world, and
No, I didn't see
so
that.
he's he, so Arrival, I didn't know until after watching it. It was an adaptation from a short story or a book of short stories, whatever. Because I was talking to my brother and my sister-in-law afterwards, and I guess my sister-in-law was saying that they went to the movies and she didn't realize that, because the titles are different. The book is called The Story of Your Life and the movie's called Arrival. And they were like almost all the way through it. She's like, this seems so familiar. Like, I know what's about to happen. I know these characters. So it's yeah, it's pretty interesting, but I just lost my absolutely lost my train of thought there. But it's a fantastic fantastic movie. But oh yeah, in terms of making adaptations, that's what I was going to say. Denis Villeneuve, the guy who made it, who also made Enemy, those are both based off of books that are mind fucks, and they're fantastic.
Very cool. Yeah, yeah. It's definitely. I think what we should do from now on is if it's not out on Blu-ray yet, we won't do spoiler. But you got the week that that shit comes out on Blu-ray, it's free game. I don't give a shit anymore at that point.
So. we're definitely the more lenient neighbors when it comes to reviewing topical material. It's unless it's music, I don't give a shit about spoiling music. There's nothing to spoil about music.
Yeah. But I know how I am whenever it comes to movies and how much I try to shelter myself from giving too much away. And that movie deserves for if somebody is listening to this and haven't seen that movie for whatever reason, for them to be able to see all of it and experience all of it without anything being given away. And that, like you said, it's very hard to talk about that movie without talking about very major things that aren't even referenced in the trailer. Like the trailer's really short, and that's that. And there's another movie that I recently watched that I was like, wow, they did a really good job of not 10 Cloverfield Lane of not really, like, you knew roughly what was going on based on the trailer, but they did a really good job of not giving too much away.
I really, really, really enjoyed that movie. I thought that it was very well done. I think that was, I want to say that was the guy who did La La Land, right?
I don't know.
Anyway, I love the ending to that movie.
So I was not, this is out on DVD, so we can talk about this all the fuck we want. I was not crazy about the ending. I liked the spirit of the ending, but what actually took place, I was not crazy about. So everything, I love that it was a Cloverfield sequel in the broadest sense, just in that it was in the same universe. But the way that they addressed the Cloverfield element of it, I was not crazy about. Like, I feel like had she gotten out of the bunker and you just sort of see the aliens in the distance, or you just see the one that's out by the truck and then she gets in the car and goes away, the entire purpose, like the whole interaction between her and the one that's on the ground and then going up with the ship with the Molotov cocktail and then all of that shit, it just seemed too much. It kept trying to one up itself. And I think there's been an interview with the writer or director of it. That's basically how that movie started, which was them going to movies as kids and being like, well, what if this happened? And then what if this happened?
I could see that. That I could completely agree with. I think you're right. I loved the ending in that, you can have an enemy who is both right about what's going on in the world, but also fucking nuts and also a tyrant. And I think that was so, because you get towards the end. So we get down either two paths when it comes to these types of movies, I think at least. Psychologically, we want to say, oh, this guy's fucking nuts. I mean, she's got to get out of here. There's nothing going on outside. Nothing's killing those people, whatever. Yeah. Or he killed those people. Like, no, there's shit going on. They're aliens, but he's also a fucking serial killer.
Yeah.
Who's nuts. Like, you could get saved by a crazy person, but that person could be your only chance at safety. I think that was such a cool, I hope I'm using this word right, dichotomy, I guess. I don't know.
That back and forth is what kept me on the hook. And that's why I don't like the ending, is that the entire movie is predicated upon this back and forth and being unsure. And it's like, wait, is there really nuclear fallout? Oh shit, there's really nuclear fallout. This guy's actually kind of okay. Oh no, wait, something is very, very wrong about this person. And then you get outside, it's like, oh wait, everything's okay. Nope, everything's still really fucked up. And then, like I said, that very end, once you really get the full scope of things, it falls flat. And I think it just went on a little too long in the end with the Cloverfield part of it. Like I said, I love the fact that she goes to Houston in the end to go help out the people. It ties in with her, story about being in the grocery store, all that, what her character is as a whole. But like I said, the Molotov cocktail and the running around out on the farm and the whole, the gas mask thing was okay. It actually showed her using it more so than it just being unnecessary. But like I said, the alien part of it is what I wasn't crazy about. But as a whole, I really enjoyed the movie. It was
You
just
know,
there's.
I completely agree. I complete. I guess it's been, I'm trying to think when I watched it last. It's been about 5 months, so I completely forgot. And that was my one qualm within watching it, was that it was so reminiscent of War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise throwing that grenade inside of the alien's mouth and getting out of there and it blowing up. That, yes, agree
It
with
was just
completely.
unnecessary. Like, for her to get out and see aliens would have had the same impact of like, you gotta be shitting me, as like having to actually engage with them and do all the shit that she actually had to do. Like, had she seen them and gotten away from them, it would have had the same resolve as her having to actually throw a grenade inside of one of them's mouth and all that shit, It just got a little long-winded. However, John Goodman was fucking phenomenal in
Yeah, he really was, man. He
that
was so good in that movie. He was scary.
I think everybody was great in that movie.
Yeah. The more Mary Elizabeth Winstead I can get in a movie, the better for me. It's
What else has she been in?
she's Ramona Flowers in Scott Pilgrim.
Is
She
she Ramona Flowers? Like, that's all I could think of the whole time. I was like, is this Ramona Flowers? I never actually looked it up,
Yeah.
but yeah, that's all I could think of the entire time.
She's the cheerleader in Death Proof, the Quentin
I
Tarantino
never
part of
saw that.
Grindhouse. Trying to think of what else she's been in of note. No, I think she's pretty great, and she's pretty easy on the eyes. So,
Yeah, she was great.
there are people shooting off fireworks around me, or those are gunshots.
Probably gone.
Yep, the Fifth District is not where I live, but at the same time, it is still falling apart. So, in terms of movies, the only other one I could think of note that I've watched recently, other than Arrival, was Captain Fantastic.
I haven't watched that.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's a Viggo Mortensen movie where he is raising his six kids out in the wilderness,
No, I've not seen that.
completely raising them off of reading books and, homeschooling them out there. They're in survival training and they're doing all kinds of stuff. It's them living off the grid and then having to kind of be brought back into society. It's a really great movie. It's just at times it got a little bit full of itself, but
Gotcha.
that's about all I'd say about it. It's a good movie though. It's definitely worth watching.
I really enjoyed Doctor Strange. I definitely recommend checking that out. If you can see it in a theater, I think it warrants it just because of all the Inception elements to it, which everybody, I think, if you watch 10 seconds of that trailer, you get that scope of it. But I enjoyed Doctor Strange. War Dogs was a lot of fun, man. I really enjoyed that too with Jonah Hill and what's his face.
Miles
Just.
Teller, yeah.
It's so bizarre. Again, it's just another instance of me being reminded of just how recent things are and how different they are as a result of that. Like the things that were happening during the Bush administration and the Iraq War, just how fucking crazy that story is for that to actually be. And I know it's not to a T what happened, but it's based off of real events of people that did that with the defense contracts during the Iraq War.
It's, I was talking to my dad. My dad watched it. He was talking about how good it was, and that. But he was like, you could definitely tell that there's kind of an agenda behind the movie in terms
Oh,
of like anti-Bush sentiment or anti-American sentiment in that regard. But
yeah, there absolutely is. But it's a fucking fun movie. I definitely recommend checking it out, especially if you like Jonah Hill, which every time he's on screen, it cracks me up, especially in that movie. Like, he finds a way to bring these weird elements to every character that he's in, that he'll say a line or he gets these little quips about the particular character that he's playing, and then for the rest of the movie, every time he does it, it cracks me up. So, and he's got this really goofy laugh with the character in War Dogs that kills me.
yeah, so my dad, that's what my dad was talking about too, and that it was so much like his character in Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes, it's very much like that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's definitely on my list. And I also had bought, I meant to watch it a few weeks ago whenever my brother was here. We were going to watch it, but we never got around to it. But Hell or High Water, which is going to be up for Academy Awards and all that. I bought it. I don't know if you maybe we do a movie night or something like that, but that's definitely on my list too, between those two. Those are the two movies that are that I'm really looking forward to watching.
Yeah, I definitely want to see that.
But mostly I've been watching TV. I've been kind of rewatching TV with Angie because she hasn't seen a lot of the stuff that like we binge watched Silicon Valley over the past few weeks because
Very nice.
I could watch that every day of the week. And she had only seen a few episodes. So
Yeah, just a couple
that,
months away from that being back, which is exciting.
yep, April. And then Red Oaks. I don't know if, did you watch Red Oaks the first season?
No.
The David Gordon Green TV show on Amazon about kid growing up. It's pretty much this kid's story. It's from the perspective of this guy who's, I think, 19. He's an NYU student. He's home for the summer in Long Island, and he's working on a at a country club in the 80s.
There's a
As
bunch of those
a
Amazon shows that I'd want to check out. The Man in the High Castle, Alpha Dogs. No, that's the top. That's the. Isn't that the Justin Timberlake movie?
That's Alpha Dog. Yeah. So you're talking about beta. Beta is
Beta
an alpha.
Dogs.
No, it's
The John Goodman Show.
Beta House.
Whatever.
No.
That and
There's
then.
Alpha House and Betas. Those are the
Whatever.
two shows. One's on Hulu,
Whatever the
one's
John
on Amazon.
Goodman one is, whatever the John Goodman one
He's on
is, the
Alpha House, I think. Fuck.
and that's on Amazon, and then Sneaky Pete, which is the Bryan Cranston and what's his face from
Yeah, Alpha House is John Goodman. Betas is about
Okay.
some guys running a, I think it's like Silicon
I just want to
Valley. Or
see Alpha Dogs made into a TV show.
where Ben Foster just goes and takes a dump inside of some guy's front or living room. Pretty sure it was Ben Foster. Yeah, so Red Oak season two just came out a few weeks ago, I think. So, dude, I think we got through 7 episodes of the first season last night. It's so good, dude. If you have access to it, if not, let me know and you watch it. It's so good. I think we should save Black Mirror season three talk for another show because that could get kind of long. And then we need to have our abysmal predictions read back to us about the Golden Globes with JP.
I think I've got him here somewhere.
Uh-oh.
I'm pretty sure he left him with me.
Yeah, we'll have to do a separate show for that too, because that's gonna be.
Oh, yeah, I got him. Yeah, we'll
I
have to do
think
a separate one.
we got pretty much everything wrong with that.
Yeah, basically, if you didn't pick La La Land for everything, you got it all wrong.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah,
okay.
it's interesting. Music, man. Couple big things. Shaky Knees lineup got announced. What are you thinking about that? It seems to me, at least in my personal opinion, the Shaky Knees lineup over the past 3 years that I missed, which was 2 years ago, the first one was it's becoming less and less laden with bands that I really want to see. And there are a few that stick out to me on this, none of which in combination would, I don't know, would propel me to pay $200+ for 3 days.
No, at this point, I go just because it's a fun weekend, and
Yep.
it's how much am I willing to spend to just go enjoy the weekend, and that's why I typically wait and do. It was like last year, like even though last year there were some bands I really wanted to see, it's much easier for me to justify $100 from Craigslist the week of, and if I don't get it off of Craigslist, it's not really the end of the world versus spending $250 or whatever it is for the weekend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the two bands that come up to me or that stick out to me immediately that I legitimately don't know if I miss Shaky Knees when the next time I'd be able to see them in Atlanta, just because of geographics. Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes, who's fucking fantastic. They're a British band. They mostly tour in the UK. So the next time they would be anywhere near Atlanta, I don't know. And then also Mariachi El Bronx.
Yeah, Mariachi El Bronx is a big one for me just because I missed their set not last year, but the year before because they played at like 10 a.m. on a Sunday, and I was like, after all day Friday and all day Saturday, I just didn't make it out there in time Sunday to see them. That's definitely on there for me. I don't have the lineup pulled up, so
I have
I'm.
it. It's a couple of the bands that I would definitely stand and watch. In terms of headliners, it's a weird combination again. It's the XX, which the only stuff I've listened to them, we were listening to some of that stuff the other night. It was like kind of electronic stuff, and then LCD Sound System and Phoenix. I would definitely watch Phoenix.
I would love to see Phoenix for sure. Yeah.
Cage the Elephant, who I very much am
Yes.
looking forward to seeing.
Yes.
They're so like their sound from their first album to their last. They're so great in terms of how they've mixed it up. Pixies.
They played the first year I went 2 years ago, and I was just like, nah, I've never been a big Pixies person,
They're
so.
kind of before our time.
Yeah, I went and saw the Strokes instead, which was the better
Yeah.
call.
The Shins, who I've never listened to, and Nick Murphy. Those are the other big bands. Amber would be happy to know that X Ambassadors are playing, so that
They're
Renegade
just
song.
gonna play that over and over again.
Yeah. Third Eye Blind, which that sticks out to me is like, what? That's a red flag that they're on this list. But then Portugal the Man.
Yeah, definitely go see them.
Who else on here? J. Roddy Walston in the Business, who I listened to years ago. Fantastic. Bleachers. I know you'd be psyched to see Bleachers.
Yeah.
And then Modern Baseball, and then those other two bands I'd mentioned are, and then maybe Cymbals Eat Guitars, and that's.
It's like what happened last year, you know, you pick
Yeah,
up
for
three
sure.
or four bands that you hadn't heard of that you kind of listen to, even if it's just for a month or so after Shaking Knees, just to listen to something new, which is always kind of fun to do. So,
Yeah, definitely.
but we got two shows coming up this weekend.
We do. So we have the On Letting Go reunion tour, the anniversary tour, 10 years, Circa Survive, and Me Without You on Friday at Tabernacle.
Yeah, that's gonna be
So,
great.
yeah, absolutely. I've been listening. I listened to a good bit of On Letting Go last week, just putting it
Yep.
on repeat while I worked. That was, to me, that's probably their most underrated work that they've done, because I think it's better than Juturna. And it definitely is not as good as Blue Sky Noise, but nothing is.
No, yeah.
No, nothing compares. What do we have? Another 2 years, 3 years before we get a Blue Sky Noise 10 year?
Yeah.
God,
It's coming up.
that's really what I'm waiting on. This will be the third time you and I have seen them in the past 2 years, 2.5 years, and two of those were anniversary shows. So
Yeah.
it's good stuff. And then Friday or Saturday night, we have a crazy show.
I cannot fucking wait. It's been 2 years since I first heard about Run the Jewels and started listening to them, and they haven't been to Atlanta. Like, they were in Atlanta right after Run the Jewels 2 came out, and it was the weekend I was traveling, and like I was going to Dallas that week. They came the day I left for Dallas, and then they were in Dallas the day I was coming back to Atlanta. So it's been, I haven't, we've never had a chance to see them in Atlanta since you and I started listening to them
Yeah.
2 or 3 years ago, whatever it's been now. So cannot fucking wait to go see them Saturday,
Yeah,
especially
it's
with Run the
exciting,
Jewels
man.
3 being as great as it is.
Yeah, so that's what the last thing I really wanted to touch on before we signed off for the night was, there might not be enough time if we're going to keep this to an hour to talk about our full thoughts on the project or on the album, but it took me a little while, I'll be honest. It took me probably two plays to really get into it, because it does feel different to me than the last album. And what I really noticed was how well each one of the songs flows into one another. It's almost like one single song if you listen to it from front to back, the way that it all bleeds into each other. I mean, the message is there. LP is, to me, stands out on this album more than the other two. I think that he's just, I mean, Mike is still head and shoulders above so many people in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, on top of being just an amazing producer, which he showed again in this album, he really stepped up his game, I thought. And again, the message is there. That's what this is all about, right? It's all about the political
Oh yeah.
message that's behind everything. I may not agree with every single thing that they say, but their shit definitely resonates.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm
So
sure that they'll be out at that March Saturday too, which is supposed to be going on in Atlanta, so.
it'll be interesting. What do you think? So,
Yeah.
on a scale of, not even on a scale, rate the jewels.
Oh, I think so like best to least, like favorite to least favorite for the
Yeah.
three. 2-3-1.
I have the same exact opinion.
Like, two, just because of when I started listening to it and how much I've listened to it. Three is fucking great, but it's just, I mean, that's all I can at least say it's as good as two. You know, can I say it's better? I don't know. Some of it maybe, but it's as good as two, and that's all I really wanted out of it. And it's, they found a way to maintain the things that make them really great and be true to what they've put out so far while still raising the bar and taking some risks in some aspects. You know, like Killer Mike's verse on Called Ticketron is probably his fastest verse in three albums.
I to me, what's your favorite track on the
Like,
album?
I heard it and I was like, oh, is that Big Boy? Like, it's very similar to some
With
of Big
that,
Boy's
I'm a llama
verses.
doom. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, it's that was a bit different. He did change it up. My
And
only
they also just have, like, I can't, they just found a way to do so many cool things. Like, the whole, on the second track or whatever, like, the crowd vocals, like, they found a way to make a closing song for every show from now on for Run the Jewels that doesn't sound gimmicky or that's in there just for the purposes of playing it at a concert. You know what I mean?
Favorite track?
I don't know. It alternates between Called Ticketron and fuck, the name is leaving me now. What's the, it's the one right before Call Ticketron.
Oh, legend has it, yeah. For me, I'm gonna have to cheat and say it's a combination of, because to me these two really do, they're one song to me. Talk to Me and Legend Has It. That's to me that's one song. The way that bleeds into it, I think Legend Has It's probably the best song on the album for me.
I just
All
love their bit. Like, the other thing is, like, LP takes these references from, like, house music and makes it into a rap album too. Like, some of the beat drops and stuff like that, and even some of the samples that they have, like that sample on Called Ticketron from that 90s dance song, I don't even know what it is, but it's just like, oh hey, oh hey.
it's definitely gonna be interesting, dude, because I've never been to a rap show to begin with, let alone fucking Run the Jewels.
It's gonna be packed, man. It's
Yeah,
sold out, so
it's
it's
gonna
gonna
be
be
crazy.
crazy.
The one downside I will say, and the only downside I think to this entire album, is Danny Brown goes to Danny Brown on Hey Kids,
Whatever.
to where I can't understand a fucking thing that the man is saying.
All you need to know, all you need to hear is Architect, and you're done.
But other than that, even it's cool as shit that they put in the lead singer from TV on the Radio on Ghosts, or whatever it's called, Thieves. Yeah, and fantastic. Last thing I wanted to do, to you know, you and I and Amber and Angie had hung out the other night, and you guys had got to meet her and do this icebreaker thing that you had come up with. And I think that's a good way to do this for movies. Or music. I want to do this for movies, but the same thing that we did, oh shit, you probably can't access this while you're on your phone, can you? Oh
I don't know if it, I don't want to risk it because it might kill it if I do.
no. Okay, never mind. I was gonna say name the
But if you're going to
last
ask
five
that, I
artists.
think I can recall it. I think I can recall it for the most
Last five
part.
artists that you've listened to.
So tonight at the gym, I listened to Bayside and Logic. I know I've listened to Run the Jewels and Circus Survive. And the fifth. What did I listen to? I don't know. I don't know what the fifth one is, but I know those four for a fact because I
Okay.
listened to them all like today.
I don't want to put that stuff in the show notes and give people like a list of shit to go and check out if they're not. For me, Idle Hands, Showbread, which I don't know if you ever listened to Showbread in high school, but that name just came up to me, and just taking a trip down memory lane. Frank Carter on the Rattlesnakes, Cage the Elephant, and then Matt and Kim. The We Were
Topic.
the Weirdos EP that they put out. So good. So good. Good feel good music. But I think that's it for me. Did you have anything else that you wanted to cover?
Ah, that's it, man.
All right. Neither of us are on
All
Twitter, so
right.
don't go find us.
Yeah. Yeah, just throw 5 stars or comment or subscribe, whatever, on iTunes. Thanks for checking us out. New Year's resolution, finish this fucking logo and get the website up. Yeah. So, as always, be home before dark.